بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد خاتم النبيين وإمام المرسلين المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، dear brothers and sisters، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. May Allah bless you, bless all your days and months and weeks and years, and make this year, inshallah, for all of you, a year of prosperity, a year of relief, a year of success in deen and dunya, where you attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also your ambitions in this dunya get done and get successful, and as much as they please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Moroccan Revelations is a poem in praise of the best of mankind, the seal of prophets, our master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This poem is one of several poems I have written, all in praise of him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this one comes with its publication in response to the slander that is taking place in some parts of the world. As we mentioned before, I reiterate that the response to slander is praise. They slander the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we praise him. And the task is obligatory. The task of praising the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is obligatory on those who are eloquent in writing, especially in poetry. And we mentioned the poets of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his lifetime, and how poets also over the past centuries always responded to the slander by defending the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and praising him, mentioning his qualities, his attributes, his shama'il, his miracles, and expressing also their love and yearning for him. We stopped at chapter 7, and this is lecture number 4 in a series of 4 lectures. And in courtesy of our Arab guests, allow me please to recite some of the lines in Arabic from the beginning of chapter 7. And this is page 55 from the Arabic edition. And the poem originally was written in Arabic, and I translated it into the English language, trying to put as much as possible the beauty and the eloquence of the Arabic in what the English language accommodates. الفصل السابع في ثناء الفصل السابع في ثناء الله تعالى على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. إني مدحت رسول الله مغترفا من بحر من جاء قبلي لا أباريه، وقد وقفت على الأبواب معترفا بالعجز عن وصف شيء من لآليه، إذ ليس يكشف عن تركيب طينته إنس وجن ولا الأملاك تدريه، وليس يدرك قدر المصطفى أحد منا ولا البحث والتحقيق يحصيه، فضل من الله لم يحصره ذو قلم أعيى العقول قديما لا تناهيه. وكل ما قيل في المختار من مدح شعرا ونثرا فقطر من غواديه، ولم يوف بمدح المصطفى أحد إلا الإله الذي في القبر يحييه. الله فضله قدما وأكرمه، وسوف يعطيه ما يرجو ويرضيه، في الذكر عظمه، في الكون قدمه، في الغيب علمه ما ليس يدريه. أعلاه مولا، أعلاه مولاه قدرا لا يحاط به من أول الخلق، بل ما زال يعليه. Part 7, the praise of Allah on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. It is very important to know that Allah praised the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Quran is full of his praise in many different ways, to the point that that the Quran could be described as the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the narration of the life and actions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And praising the Messenger of Allah is actually an act in which we follow what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did in the Quran al-Kareem. So praising him is an act of worship, was done first by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Line number 152. I have praised the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, cooping from the oceans of the poets who came before me. This is an important point to make in such a lengthy poem. This poem is in Arabic 256 lines, the same number of the numerological value of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, An-Nur, which also one of the names of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nur is also 256, the numerological value of it. So it is very important to understand that in such a lengthy poem, I need to acknowledge the great works of the great poets who came before me. Illustrious works, unparalleled poems, very famous, such as the Burda of Imam Busiri, the Hamziya of Imam al-Busiri, and many great poets, such as Imam Jamaluddin al-Sarsari from Iraq in Baghdad, Imam Ibn Jabir al-Andalusi from Andalusia, Imam Abdul Rahim al-Bura'i of Yemen, and most recently in the past 100 years, Shaykh Yusuf al-Nabhani, who died 100 years ago, died actually 92 years ago, Shaykh Yusuf al-Nabhani. And I am just following in their footsteps and doing the same what they did. Sometimes I borrow from their meanings. Sometimes, and here is the aspect of excellence of every new poem, is the new images, the new expressions, the new way you put things. And although I have relied on poets before, but there is always in my poems something new in a way that is difficult to compare. I have written a little bit of commentary in Arabic on this poem, very short, at the end of the Arabic edition. And some of my other poems, I did actually more extensive commentary where I tried to compare my lines to the lines of the poets before me when we address a certain miracle. This miracle was addressed by this poet. I addressed it in that way. I tried this, my poem, for example, the poem of the jewels, Al-Qasidatul Muthanna. I wrote a commentary on it where I tried to point out what poets before me said. I did this also actually in my poem, the Kaf poem, known as Al-Qasida Al-Kafiyyat Al-Kafiya. The commentary on it is more extensive, where I really put a lot of quotes from poets before me when I addressed the same point they addressed, and how and what's new in the way I expressed it. Apart from a lot of new metaphors and new similes and new expressions, etc. But I have to acknowledge that we follow their pattern, at least in praising the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So these people came before us, and we need to be thankful to them for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them, and they used it in the service of the deen. We grew up reciting Al-Burda in my home in Damascus. The Burda was recited since I was born every Thursday evening. before Friday in a dhikr gathering, the burda, parts of the hamziya, the la ilaha al-khairat, dhikr. I grew up in that environment, and I said before that I don't remember a day I hold the burda to memorize it. I memorized it by heart from beginning to end just by listening to it. You know the anecdotes that are narrated from Arabs before Islam and after Islam, and how they were really good in memorization. Before Islam, it's well known. They relied on oral narration. After Islam, there are these stories and anecdotes, especially with Al-Khalifa Harun al-Rashid, or Abu Ja'far al-Mansur, actually, Abu Ja'far al-Mansur, who didn't like giving poets rewards, money. And he used to memorize a poem from after hearing it from the second time. He had a slave girl, who used to memorize the poem after hearing it one time. And also a slave who used to hear it from the second time. Anyway, every poem comes, brings a new poem, and the girl from behind listens to it and memorizes it immediately, and the slave also listens to it, memorizes it immediately, and then Abu Ja'far al-Mansur himself listens to it and memorizes it immediately. So the poet recites his poem. Abu Ja'far al-Mansur says, this is an old poem, does anyone know this poem? The slave girl comes to say, yes, I know this poem, and she recites the poem, then the slave girl, then etc. It's a quite more like a popular folk stories. It's just an indication of the faculty of memorization. Alhamdulillah, I had very strong memory when I was young, and still, alhamdulillah, I have this memory. Of course, it's different now with different preoccupations and a lot of responsibilities. But I used to memorize things sometimes. Yes, when you say that you don't look at the second page, left page, because you may memorize it before, or the right page. Yeah, I used to cover the left page when memorizing any text, even from the Quran Kareem, when I used to memorize, just to be busy with the right page so that I memorize it and I do not get distracted from it by picking up from the left page, especially in poetry, for example. And quick memorization, it used to take just listening to something a couple of times, three times, depending on how long the poem is. I still remember in schools, my teachers got really tired because every time they write a poem on the blackboard to explain it or something, and I would say, okay, I know it. Even when I studied English, I remember my English teacher used to write a few lines, poems in English, and while he's writing on the board, I would be busy just memorizing what he's writing, and then he turns and say, okay, I know it by heart. And I still remember also my teacher in school of prosody, and it was in grade 11 in school, after which I left school and did homeschooling for the baccalaureate. Anyway, in prosody, which I had already studied under my father, rahimahullah, and excelled in, and he was supposed to give some meters, 6 meters, I think, throughout the year. And he used to write lines of poetry, several 7-8 lines of poetry. And while he's writing the line of poetry, just from the first two or three words, I would know the meter of it. And I would say, okay, it is a tawil meter, it is a wafir meter, it is a basirt meter, etc. And then he turned and said, this class is not for you, and these questions are not for you, so do not answer these questions. So back to the poets and the great works of Imam al-Busiri and the Burda. We are so grateful to these poets because we grew up listening to these and were influenced by them. And I'm glad Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me this opportunity to serve the Muslim Ummah through praising the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through defending him, advocating him, spreading his virtues, motivating love for him in the hearts of people. So this is sort of acknowledgement. I have praised the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, scooping from Mughtarifan, this is the word Mughtarifan, scooping from the oceans of the poets who came before me, but without competing against them. I'm not competing against any poet, I'm just following in their footsteps. I am standing at the doors of the Messenger of Allah, admitting my failure to and incapability to fully describe only any of his pearls, great jewels. How can we describe them? So I have to admit my failure to bring matching poetry or words to his jewels. Because no one can reveal, as you can see here, I'm just introducing the way, point after another. This is what you call coherence, where you have to present an idea, but start from scratch and then develop the idea little by little. Because no one can reveal the secret of the formula of his clay, Asrar Tinatihi, the clay from which he was created. No mankind, not the jinn, not even the angels know it. This is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in him, great secrets which made him what he is, the best of mankind. No one among us human beings would comprehend the rank of the Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace and blessings be upon him. Research and studies would never reveal it. Full comprehension. The ulama say that the best man who understood the rank of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Sayyiduna Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an. Yet the gap between, as we mentioned before, the gap between any human being, no matter how he is, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so big that even Sayyiduna Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, with all of his knowledge, and the close rank as the closest of the Sahaba to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the highest amongst them, still his knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is but a drop to what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. The grace he received from Allah cannot be encompassed by any writer. We try to, what we call it, circumambulate around his meanings. But to delve into it, we can't. We circumambulate the Kaaba, but of course, at one point or another, some people are allowed to get into the Kaaba. But with the essence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you can get closer, you can see more, you can describe more, but you cannot get full knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's secrets and rank. The grace he received from Allah cannot be encompassed by any writer. His limitlessness exhausted the best intellects of all times. Indeed. Everything that has been said in praise of the Mukhtar, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether poetry or prose, is just few drops from the heavy clouds of his virtues. Presenting here another image of how his virtues are like heavy, huge clouds carrying rain, ghayth for humanity and our works and the works of human beings in praise of him or description of him are just few drops. No one has done justice to the praise of the Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, save for Allah, who brought him back after he died to live in his grave. We highlighted the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is living in his grave, and this is the principle of Sunni Islam. We need to understand it's part of our Aqidah. Imam al-Bayhaqi, Abu Bakr al-Hafidh, the great Muhaddith, the great Ash'ari, theologian. People probably don't know this fact about him because he's from the school of Hadith, and many great scholars from the school of Hadith were Ash'aris. Abu Bakr al-Bayhaqi, contemporary of Al-Imam Abu al-Qasim al-Qushayri, the great Sufi master and friend of him, and also from the same city, from Nisabur. So he himself authored the book on the principles of our Aqidah, and he included in his book the principle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being alive in his grave. So the point in this line is that it is only Allah who knows the rank of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and therefore can do him justice in praising him and describing him. Allah exalted and honored him from before eternity. He will give him what he hopes for until he is pleased. He will give him Allah until he is pleased, the Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is borrowed from Surah Al-Duha. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. And thy Lord will give you until you are pleased. Will give you, and will give you, and will give you. It doesn't stop, and it doesn't define what. The object is not mentioned here to include everything. Allah doesn't say, and thy Lord will give you Al-Kawthar, will give you Al-Hawd, will give you Al-Maqam Al-Mahmud, will give you Al-Wasila. It doesn't specify a point or something. It's open for everything. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ. And the verb here used, the tense of the verb is مُضَارِعَ, which present tense, it indicates that the action is renewed always. So يُعْطِيكَ, he's giving him. Now, the second before now, the second after the second, tomorrow, yesterday, before yesterday, after tomorrow, etc. He is giving him. So you can imagine now how much the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being elevated and how much he is being given from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of secrets, of treasures, of knowledge, of praise, which we do not know or are not aware of. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ. Allah will give him. It's not at a certain point. It's not for a specific giving. It's open. He revered him in the Quran, and he raised him above everything in the universe. He granted him knowledge of the unseen, which he did not know. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ. He taught you what ye did not know. He gave you the knowledge of that which ye did not know. And again here, see the object. The object is mentioned, but what it is? It is general. Everything. مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ. What ye did not know. He gave you the knowledge of what ye did not know. So the knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so vast, to the point he delivered the speech from morning till evening, from after Fajr till Maghrib time. And he led the prayer and then went back to the pulpit and continued his speech. The narrator of the hadith, Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala, says that he did not leave anything. He did not leave any matter that would happen, any event that would happen from his time until the day of the end of time or until the hour to come, but he specified it, he mentioned it. In one narration, it says he even named the leaders, even if it was someone who led 300 people and more. The narrator says, فَأَعْلَمُنَا أَحْفَظُنَا. The most learned amongst us of what he said is the one who memorized more, the one who picked up more. Knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is vast and is given from Allah. It's one of the way Allah honored him. Allah gave him so much knowledge. Authors wrote great works on the knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The most important work on the knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the work of Sayyid Muhammad ibn Ja'far al-Kittani. Three volumes, three huge volumes, just proofs of the vast knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the knowledge of even the matters that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran that they belong to him. وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُ. Even such matters, even they may happen to some of the awliya. Some of the awliya may know actually what a woman could bring, whether it is a boy, deliver a boy or a girl. Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala had this miracle, and he told of the gender of the baby which was in the womb of his wife before he died. So this is the karama of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. If it happens to Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, why would it not happen to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam? From the beginning of creation, Allah raised the rank of His beloved beyond the comprehension of anyone, and He is still raising the rank. He made an oath on His life in the Quran from before eternity to honor Him. This oath is لَعَمُّرُكَ إِنَّهُمْ لَفِي سَكْرَتِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. By your lifetime, by your lifespan, age. Amr and Rumor in the Arabic language is the age of one person he or she spend on in this life. La amruka or la rumor in the also Arabic language. And the lam here is lamul qasam. This is an oath. So Allah is making an oath. We know Allah made oath by al-duha, by al-shams, by al-qamar, by al-layl, by al-nahar, day, night, moon, sun, glorious morning, light, etc. So many examples in the Quran Kareem, but this includes also the lifespan of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And to offer him some solace when his people rejected his message. This is the rest of the verse when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَعَمْرُكَ by your lifespan. The rest of the verse reads, إِنَّهُمْ لَفِي سَكْرَتِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. They are in their intoxicating state, wandering off like blind people. This is the solace Allah offered to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of the rejection of his message. People rejected his message, and the Prophet was upset for that, of course, not for himself, not for the harm or insults they inflicted upon him, but he was very much concerned, as we read in several verses in the Quran Kareem, about them not accepting his message, not embracing Islam, not believing in the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the point Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calmed him down. Several verses, فَلَا تَذْهَبْ نَفْسُكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَسَرَاتٍ. Let not your nafs weep over them or be destroyed over them. He honored him with the ascension of the Mi'raj to elevate him more, where he reached as far as beyond the barriers above the seven heavens. This is a way to honor the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is taking him into this journey, which first proved his rank above all messengers in the Aqsa Mosque, where he led all the messengers, and they were all waiting for him. And he led them in the prayer. And this is one of the proofs that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is alive, because other prophets were alive and they were there with their bodies and with their souls. It was not a spiritual journey. It was not a spiritual journey for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was with his body and his soul. This is why the miracle is so great. So, and then by taking him to the heavens, and where no one, the prophets or several prophets were in some heavens where he met one after the other, but even at the end, beyond the seven heavens, Jibreel could not go on or go further. It was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, as we read in Surah An-Najm. There Allah spoke to him without a veil and pleased him. He conveyed He conversed with him from beyond the seven heavens. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Kalimullah, as Musa, peace be upon him, was Kalimullah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah spoke to him. It was beyond the heavens. And we understand here the story of Al-Mi'raj, one of the most beautiful stories, which would take an hour at least to narrate without any explanation. It's a beautiful story, which I hope that at one point we can, inshallah, dwell on it. There, beyond the sword, he tasked him with the prayers and made them finally five with a direct command from him. The conversation between 50 and 5, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned to his Lord to ask him to lessen them according to the advice of Prophet Musa, peace be upon him. And the Prophet returned to his Lord and then back to on his way, and Musa stops him and then sends him to ask or request that they would be lessened again till they were five in number, but 50 in rewards. And the reason for this back and forth return is for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to enjoy more speaking to his Lord and his Lord speaking to him. Of course, when we speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no voice, there's no sound, and also hearing is without how, and there is no way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could be similar to any human being or to any created being. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw his creator with his own empowered eyes. This is the reliable opinion that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw his Lord during that journey of Al-Mi'raj. And the difference is between the Sahaba, there was some difference of opinions on the issue between the Sahaba. The difference is valid. And our opinion is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw his Lord. And this is possible in this life only for him. And it is impossible for other than him. And Musa, peace be upon him, asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قَالَ رَبِّ أَرِنِي أَنظُرْ إِلَيْكَ, let me look at you. قَالَ لَن تَرَانِي, you will not see me. وَلَكِنْ انظُرْ إِلَى الْجَبَلِ فَإِنِ اسْتَقَرَّ مَكَانَهُ فَسَوْفَ تَرَانِي, but look at the mount. If it stabilizes in its place, then you will see me. And the ulama say, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stipulated the beatific vision or seeing him in this life on something that is possible, which is the mountain stabilizing, then seeing him subhanahu wa ta'ala is possible. This is why we believe it happened to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And something else the ulama say here, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when talking about orphans and orphans' wealth, Allah says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا مَالَ الْيَتِيمِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ, do not approach, that is to say, do not use the wealth of an orphan except in the best way. This is for guardians of orphans. But some of the great masters applied this on Musa, peace be upon him. Because when he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to see him, he asked what does not belong to him. He asked actually what belongs to the orphan, to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, described in the Quran al-Kareem, of course, with this, because he was raised up as an orphan. Although we should not use it in a way to sort of reduce the rank of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or to slander him, but we use it in order to praise him. That is to say, there was no influence of a father or a mother over him, no education from a father or a mother upon him. The influence of human beings on him was veiled. This is one of the great secrets why the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam lost his parents when he was very little. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of him directly. So Musa alayhi salam asked what belonged to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam does not belong to him. This is why he was denied. And this was given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. It was hidden, a treasure hidden for him. but without any similarity to the normal vision of eyesight. This is the same also on the Day of Judgment. The doctrine of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah is that we human beings, we will see believers. Believers will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Al-Jannah. It is mentioned in the Quran, it is mentioned in Mutawatir Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. It is the utmost pleasure of the people of Al-Jannah. I mentioned before that the utmost pleasure, the greatest honor people may have in this life is seeing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is very important. It's not seeing the Kaaba, it's not circumambulating around the Kaaba. The greatest honor people can have in this life the greatest look is the looking at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in a dream or even when awake. And the greatest pleasure of Al-Jannah or the hereafter is the beatific vision looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah granted him manifold graces that are countlessly increasing, and especially at the great intercession when he comes on the day of resurrection. This is something given to him in Fasl al-Qada, for the reckoning to take place between humanity, for all humanity. This is where even non-Muslims benefit from the mercy of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an aspect of his mercy, because they want an end to that agony while waiting for the reckoning. He granted him, out of his bounty, the most beautiful names and titles. And when he addresses him in the Quran, he never addresses him by name. Always, Ya Ayyuhan Nabi, Ya Ayyuhan Rasul, O Prophet, O Messenger. His name is mentioned in the Quran 4 times, the same number of his letters, but mentioned while telling about him, while telling us about him. Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, but not directly, Ya Nuh, ihbit bi salamin minna wa barakat. O Nuh, embark with the safety from us and blessings. Ya Musa, aqbil wa la takhaf. O Musa, come and do not be in fear. Yusuf, a'rid an hadha. O Yusuf, turn away from this. See how prophets are called after their names, but not our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was called in the Quran after his titles. He sheltered him to revere him, and he honored him, and afterwards he gave him great wealth, and he gave him the best guidance. This is what we read in Surah Al-Duha. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى. These are qualities of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and bounties from Allah سبحانه وتعالى bestowed upon him, enumerated and celebrated in the Holy Quran. There is no command to pray on any prophet or messenger other than on Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So who would match up to his rank? The Prophet is the best of all prophets and the highest in rank of all prophets and has the greatest virtues of all prophets, the greatest miracles of all prophets. تلك الرسل فضلنا بعضهم على بعض, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we read, such are the messengers. We made some better than others, or we raised some above than others. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said in one hadith that is sound, that تفضلوني على يونس ابن متى, do not say I am better than Yunus ibn Matta, peace be upon him. But this is for another reason. We explained this before, because Sayyiduna Yunus, peace be upon him, was in the darkness of the whale, in the darkness of the ocean, in the darkness of the night, so deep down, let's say, in the ocean. And our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was up above the seven heavens. So is our beloved prophet better than Yunus from that angle, from that point, which means closeness to Allah or being far away from Allah? No. It's not the point of who is close to Allah and who is away from Allah, because Allah is in no place. Allah is the creator of place. Allah wasn't, there was nothing with him. And with nothingness here, we mean there was no time, there was no place, there was no direction, there was no top, no bottom, no right, no left, no front, no back. That's all here created. All of these things are created. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be contained by created beings. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not want us to think that he is better because he got closer to Allah and Yunus, peace be upon him, was away from Allah. No one is away from Allah because of being deep in the ocean or close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of being above the seven heavens. The way Allah honored the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is by acquainting him with all of the unseen knowledge and getting him to the heavens and what is between the heavens and what is beyond the heavens. No one has gone there. No one has reached there of the prophets and the messengers. Even Jibreel had to stop. So that's the great honor. And then speaking to him, and then the Prophet seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his Lord. These are the honors. It's not about distance, how much he was closed or far, or others were far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is why the Prophet said, do not say I am better than Yunus. Not that he is less or not better in general. The Prophet is better than all prophets in general. He's made it very clear in one hadith, very sound. Ana sayyidu waladi Adam. I am the master of the children of Adam, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wala fakhr. And there is no pride above this, according to some scholars. The rest of the hadith is wala fakhr. Fakhr is glory or pride. So you could translate this, as scholars suggest, as there is no glory above this glory, or I do not pride myself, I humble myself, I do not boast of this rank out of his humility, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ay la aftakhir. The Book of Allah celebrates His praises in many surahs and in different ways. The surahs bestowed to Him the brightest jewelry of honor. Every surah of the Quran has something about the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Even we have a surah named after him, Surah to Muhammad. And he's mentioned, as we said before in few speeches during the month of the Mawlid, Rabi', the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned and referred to in a Quran Kareem in 7,000 places, 7,000 times. In praising him, we note the verse that was revealed to celebrate his glory. You are indeed of great character. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. This verse has a metaphor in it that is so beautiful, and the image of it is so great that if we understand it, then we understand how much we are benefiting from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And that every good humanity has is just a drop of what he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has, and is actually a gift from him. The verse tells us that wa innaka, verily, indeed and verily, you are ta'ala. On ala is for isti'la, for something high, being on top and control of something that is underneath it, beneath it. Wa innaka la'ala, on khuluq, character, azim, great. You are on great character. So the verse actually is telling us that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is sitting, is in control of good character, and all good character is under his authority, under his control. So anyone who has good character actually has it from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because it is like the Prophet having all these treasures of good characters, and he's just giving away a little here, a little there. So all good character is summed up in him, is concluded in him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This alone should suffice for him. Nay, by your Lord. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ. Nay, by your Lord. Is a verse about accepting his judgment. It opened the door to submit to his ruling for anyone who comes to him. And again here, this verse here tells us that we have to submit to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The verse reads, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ. Nay, by thy Lord. لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. They will not believe. Hatta, until yuhakkimuka, they make you a judge. Fima shajara baynahum, in the matters of dispute that arise amongst them. Thumma, then, la yajidu, do not find. Fi anfusihim, within themselves, harajan, resentment. Fima qadayt, in what you rule, in your decree. Wa yusallimu taslima, and they submit to you in full submission. That's the verse. This is the full submission to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to what he brought. We indeed opened for you, inna fatahna. Surah Al-Fath is all about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the divine gifts Allah bestowed upon him. Inna fatahna laka. We have opened for you indeed. Fatham mubina. A great, mysterious conquest. Didn't we split open Alam Nashrah? I included these verses in poetry, this part of the verse. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ فِي التَّحْكِيمِ قَدْ فَتَحَتْ بَابَ الْخُضُوعِ لِمَنْ فِي الْحُكْمِ يَأْتِيهِ إِنَّا فَتَحْنَا أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ دَلَائِلُهُ وَكَوْثَرٌ وَالضُّحَى غَابَتْ مُعَادِيهِ. Didn't we split open Alam Nashrah? The whole verse, all the surah is in praise of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Are amongst the proofs of the Quran, praising the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and raising his rank. The Kawthar surah, it's a river the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is given in Al-Jannah. The reliable opinion is the Kawthar is different from the Hawd, the pool. The Kawthar is in Al-Jannah. The pool of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is outside. So both are gifts to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Kawthar and the Duha surahs brought but anguish to his enemies. Those who do not like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they do not like these surahs which honor the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is light, nur. He is siraj munir. Is a gleaming lamp, is a bright lamp, a witness and the moon, shaheed, and is a full moon, is a brightly shining star, Najmi Al-Thaqib, Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the brightly shining star. Blessed is he who becomes a prisoner of his love. Prisoner of his love. You cannot get out of it. This is a metaphor. You cannot get out of his love. You are so much bound and tied up just by him and his love and his sunnah and his following and his family and everything related to him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's the full moon. Compassionate, merciful, intercessor and judge. He is the sun, bringer of glad tidings, and warner, to mention a few of his names. Just a few are referred to in this poem here. And I mentioned 1,750 names and description of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, names and attributes, 1,750. In my 900-line poem, Maghani Ruba al-Asma. Alhamdulillah. And that was also a great opening. To anyone who desires to know more of his virtues, the surahs of Al-Quran are in front of you and would give the best fatwas. You have a question? You have a lot of questions about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You want to seek knowledge about him. You want to learn more about him. Try to read the Quran again just by looking for anything relating to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I give you glad tidings that I'm doing this. I have done actually this part to the end of Surah Al-Anfal, Alhamdulillah. And I'm continuing picking up every reference related to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and explaining what it means and what is meant by it. It's the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the Quran, Al-Quran Al-Kareem. I started this over 6 years ago, probably 7 years ago I started this. I paused a little bit, got busy, and got back to it again. Part 8, loving the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I want you here to see what I tell here is not only my story. I tell the story of every one of you who loves the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but doesn't have the same opportunity to put it in the Arabic language or English in that style. So words do not matter if you truly love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let these feelings in your heart just be expressed in front of people by the way you honor the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the way of adab you have with him, with his mention, with his family, with the following of his sunnah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As in English it says, actions speak louder than words. So you can tell people how much you love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in many ways. Allah has given us tongues and language and eloquence. So we put it in that way, and we hope that what we claim or what we say in these poetries represents the truth, inshallah. If you have not met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no harm on you, only if you are included in the list of his true lovers. You know, we're not Sahaba. And do you feel sorry for this? Some people may think, oh, I wish I was in his time. Well, good wishes are good and they are allowed. It's permitted in Islam to make such good wishes. But don't be upset because you didn't get that honor, because we are his brothers, as mentioned in one hadith. And he longs for us, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, as much as we long for him. So there are a lot of doors that could be open for you because you are not a Sahaba. Again, if you are not also one of the members of the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you shouldn't be upset. We mentioned in the last lecture that you can reach that rank also by your knowledge, by your strong iman, and by loving and attachment, by love and attachment to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you have not met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no harm on you, only if you are included in the list of his true lovers. As we are his brothers, we have come in a time of troubles. We did not see him, but we are his supporters. How often he wished to meet us. He wished and he longed for meeting us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he definitely will wait for us at the bridge. He said, أَنَا فَرَطٌ بِأُمَّتِي. I will come before my ummah and wait for them. At the bridge on the day of judgment, answering us when we call upon him. And he, in this life, we call upon him, he answers us. Don't think that distance matter in this context. It doesn't matter. You say, السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكَ أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ. It is conveyed to him, and on Fridays, he hears every salam given to him from all around the world. Anyone who truly obeys the Messenger of Allah in everything and follows his guidance will meet him on the day of resurrection. He will offer him from his pool with a pure glass the most delicious drink that will bring him to the garden. اللهم اسقنا من حوض نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم شربة هنيئة لا نظمأ بعدها أبدا. Oh Allah, grant us from the pool of your prophet, your beloved, the drink after which we never get thirsty. He will quench his thirst. He will save him from destruction and will reward him with his intercession at the due time. For loving the best of mankind is an obligation on every believer. Obeying him is obeying Allah, so beware of challenging him. Loving the Messenger of Allah is fard. And disliking the Messenger of Allah or disliking his beauty or denying his beauty or disliking his hadith or is haram and is an act of that bring people out of the fold of Islam. There is no salvation for us except through obedience to him. مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. You obey the messenger, you already have obeyed Allah automatically. This is why, this is our answer for those who think or suspect that we're exaggerating or our attachment to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam may veil us from Allah. No, the more you're attached to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the more you're attached to Allah. The closer you are to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the closer you are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam you have, the more love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for Allah you have. The more adab with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam you have, the more adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala you will have. There's no salvation for us except through obedience to him. There is no eternal felicity except at his heels. What glad tidings he receives, he who truly loves him. What a loss he suffers, he who keeps away from him. Glad tidings. Al-mar'u ma'a man ahab. Every person will be with whom he loves. Every person will be with the people he loves. Another hadith. Man tashabbaha biqawmin fahuwa minhum. Anyone who resembles people, try to resemble people. Anyone who tries to resemble people or act similarly to some people, he will be one of them. Although this is usually understood or quoted in the context of Muslims imitating, emulating non-Muslims, but again, the statement, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is general. The hadith is sound in Sunan Abi Dawood and other books of hadith. من تشبه, anyone who acts similarly, in a similar way to some people, he is one of them. So you act the people of Sunnah, you are one of the people of Sunnah. You be like the true lovers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will be one of them. Blissful is he who reverse him, as commanded in our religion, and pay ransom for him where it needed, his children and wealth. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he was addressed by some of the Sahaba. Fidaka abi wa ummi, may my father and mother be your ransom. That is to say, my life can be paid for you. My parents, my wealth, my children, everything can be sacrificed for your sake, O Messenger of Allah, because he's more precious than everything else. He's more important to us than anything else. Of course, our life is important, our parents, everything else is important in as much as it serves our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our obedience to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and that purpose in this life. Even if they are non-Muslims, we love them and we respect them, but no transgression against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no transgression or compromise for against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam should be made at all. If you wish to obtain a share of the glory of his family, be, if you could, one of his true servants. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. It's Isha time here. He said, Salman is part... He said, Salman is part of us. Salman minna ahl al-bayt. Is also a sound hadith. For as long as you live with the hopes that through love and righteousness, al-mahabba and al-taqwa, you can connect to him, to his lineage, this spiritual lineage. And I tell you, for those who pick up the isnads of hadith, you can be closer to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than his grandchildren, because lineages to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of his descendants vary between from 30 to 34 probably is the shortest, 36, 40, 42, 48, sometimes. But isnads to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are much shorter. And I'm sure the majority of you who are probably attending now this lecture have heard from me hadith al-Rahma. Ar-Rahimuna yarhamuhum ar-Rahman. يَرْحَمُوا مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَرْحَمُكُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ. Now I heard this hadith from someone who heard this hadith, from someone who heard this hadith, from someone who heard this hadith, from someone who heard it back, from someone who heard it from Sufyan ibn Uyayna, who heard it from Amr ibn Dinar, who heard it from Abu Qabus, who heard it from Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As, radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, who heard it from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many people are in this chain? Between me and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 23. Between you and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 24. You see how shorter you are connected to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through these hadith lineages, or you could say sacred knowledge, lineages of sacred knowledge. Every science has its own chain. Every book of hadith has its own chain. Every fiqh, there are chains of fiqh back to Imam Shafi'i, back to the Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, back to Imam Abu Hanifa, and from Imam Abu Hanifa to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, from his teacher Hammad, from Ibrahim al-Nakha'i, from Alqama and al-Aswad, from Sayyidina Aisha, and Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and Sayyidina Ali, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, and other sahaba, to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are chains of transmission of knowledge and hadith in the Sharia. This is one of the particular gifts Allah gave to this ummah, that is to say, keeping its knowledge narrated with isnad. And the top of that, of course, is Al-Quran, Al-Kareem. 28 narrators between us and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the recitation of Al-Qur'an al-Kareem. Everyone recited the Qur'an with someone who recited the Qur'an, with someone who recited the Qur'an al-Kareem. 27 in the Qur'an. In Hadith al-Rahma, 23. In the Thulathiyat of Imam al-Bukhari, the three hadith of Imam al-Bukhari, 19. There are 19 narrators between us and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with 22 hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari between Imam Bukhari and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are only three narrators called Thulathiyat, the thirds or the thrices. So this is the way to connect to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And much shorter than all of this is connecting through love, connecting through following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, connecting through adab with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through loving his family, through serving. You say, I want to serve the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Serve his family. You cannot serve the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam now. Probably, very few people would get the opportunity of being servants in the shrine of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like the Aghawat. May Allah reward them on our behalf and reward all of the servants in the mosque of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Al-Madina Al-Munawwara. But you can be servant of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when you serve one of his descendants, one of his heirs. in lineage Al-Bayt, the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and the awliya, of course, who are his heirs also, spiritual heirs. May Allah reward all the brothers and all the sisters who do us good and try to help around and serve and donate and contribute to the work we're doing and to the message we're trying to spread and to the knowledge we're trying to convey to people and to the books we're going to publish, we're trying to publish. May Allah reward you all, brothers and sisters, for all your contributions. And this is something that you're doing for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And your rewards are manifold more than other acts of worship or other donations because of supporting Islam, supporting Sunni Islam, defending the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, doing good to someone. I don't claim to be anything, not a scholar, not anything, but there is something in me that is true, and I didn't do anything to get it. And that's being descendant of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Having this great honor of being his great grandson, the grandson of his grandson of his grandson, the grandson of the grandson of the grandson, back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This honor, I did not work to have it. So I can disclaim the knowledge I have, I can disclaim any good works I have, I can disclaim any good quality in me, but I cannot disclaim the fact that I am one of the descendants of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and the blood that runs within me has particulars. There are grains, there are atoms that have come to me from Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra, peace be upon her, alayhi salam, Bada'atun Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyiduna Al-Hasan. And definitely, anyone who rewards, anyone who does us good, he's doing this to the offspring of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he will have his rewards from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly. This is why sometimes I have a certain feeling, you know, when people praise the Messenger of Allah, I have munshids sometimes. Munshids, when they praise the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I feel they are doing this service to me, because this is my grandfather. It's different from like someone who, okay, they are praising the Prophet of Islam, the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, all of that is included in their praise. But for me, there is something more specific. They are praising my grandfather. So I have to reward them myself. I make lots of dua. Sometimes if I can, I try to contribute or to give whatever I have in my hand. So, because there is a duty on me, someone is praising my grandfather. So this is quite an important fact. But anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all of you for doing this. But this is a way that is open for you to get close to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And read in the description of the wonders of the awliya, the karamat of the awliya, how many miracles happened for people who loved the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who did good to some of the offspring of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to them in their dreams and gave them glad tidings. If you truly love the Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the elect, show then the proof of your love in following his footsteps. Every claim must have a proof to support it, to back it. So back your claims of love by actions, by presenting proofs, and these proofs are in following his sunnah, in having great adab with him, and in doing good to his offspring. In we have so many examples, countless examples of how to prove your love for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The best counsel and the greatest success are indeed in the implementation of his sunnah. Ample revenues and immense openings stem from what was brought at his hands. Everyone prides himself on whom he loves, right, in this dunya. Everyone prides himself on whom he loves. These are probably some of the highlights of the poem. كُلٌّ يُغَالِي بِمَنْ يَهُوَى. Everyone thinks that whom I'm loving is the most important. Everyone prides himself on whom he loves. And he who loves the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has the right to pride himself most. We're not the insane of Layla. No matter how anything is important to you, you love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you should be proud of that. Because your beloved is the most important, the master of mankind, the seal of all prophets, the dearest and most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كُلٌّ يُغَالِي بِمَنْ يَهْوَى وَحُقَّ لِمَنْ يَهْوَى النَّبِيَّ التَّغَالِي فِي تَغَالِيهِ. كُلٌّ يُغَالِي بِمَنْ يَهْوَى وَحُقَّ لِمَنْ يَهْوَى النَّبِيَّ التَّبَاهِي فِي تَغَالِيهِ. مَنْ كَانَ يَهْوَى حَبِيبَ اللَّهِ مَا أَحَدٌ فِي مَذْهَبِ الْحُبِّ يَوْمًا قَدْ يُوَازِيهِ. لَا تَنْهَنِي عَنْ غُلُوِّي فِي مَحَبَّتِهِ فَالْقَلْبُ يَغْلِي عَلَى نِيرَانِ حُبِّهِ. إِنَّ الْمُغَالَاةَ فِي غَالٍ مُسَوَّغَةٌ فَكَيْفَ إِنْ كَانَ أَغْلَى مَنْ نُصَافِيهِ. إن الرسول لغال في شريعتنا وما نرى أحدا وما نرى أبدا خلقا يحاذيه أغلى من الأهل والأبناء قاطبة أغلى من الكون زاهيه وحاليه. When I was young, in my 20s, less than 20s, 30s, even 40s, I used to write poems and memorize them by heart. My poems at the time were short, probably the longest poem, 45 lines in praise of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I wrote, I think, in 84, around 84, 83. I wrote a poem longer, 100-line poem on Sham at the time, during the lifetime of my father, rahimahullah, in around 82, 83. So, anyway, but never had this amount of treasures of praise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pouring till these past few years when I left Syria and came to Morocco here. And this is why I call this poem the Moroccan Revelations, because these openings, revelations are open, futuhat, came actually after I left Syria and settled here. And then the most generous told me and opened for me the treasures of praising the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as you heard, one poem is 900 lines, one poem is 256. I have a couple of dozens of poems between 100 lines, 160 lines, 150 lines. And usually to cast one poem like that, it takes a poet a year, a full year to finish a poem like that. And I almost finish a poem like that in 1 week or a few days, even sometimes. It's a bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So recently now, I don't recall my poetry by heart, because it is so much, there is so much to memorize. I have written probably over 10,000 lines of poetry, and the bulk of them are in praise of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And it is a drop of what poets wrote before, alhamdulillah. In the doctrine of love, it is established that there is no equal to anyone who loves the beloved of Allah. That's a rule. No one equal is equal to you. This is a doctrine of love. It's a rule. More than anything else. Do not stop me from being extreme in loving the most beloved, because my heart is boiling on the fire of his love. Do not stop me. I'm not exaggerating. What exaggeration is more when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says you have to love him more than your parents, more than your children, more than yourself, even more than yourself. Exaggeration in describing a precious thing is always justified. Then, what if it is the most precious? If it is a precious thing, we excuse the insane of Layla for all his poetry. He wandered off, even in his prayer, He made mistakes in his prayer. He said in his poetry, أصلي فما أدري إذا ما ذكرتها أثنتين صليت الضحى أم ثمانية. I pray ضحى. When I remember her in my prayer, I forget whether I prayed two or eight. Okay, the question is, why would he make a mistake between eight and two? Eight, two and four would be possible, but why eight and two? Between two and four, between two and three, when rak'ah missing or being mixed up. His forgetfulness is so deep and his preoccupation with Layla is so deep that he's counting his rak'ahs with his fingers. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So here again, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So now when he's counting, he forgets, did he pray the fingers which he folded, 8, or did he pray to the fingers which are not folded? Up to that level, his preoccupation. It's just a beautiful image to see how a lover of woman, although the most famous lover and probably the most, the deepest in his love, how he was preoccupied by Layla in his love, even when he was in his prayer. So all of that for him is justified because his lover is his beloved is Layla. Now, our Layla is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, more than any, better than any Layla, better than anything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ever created, more beautiful than anything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ever created. Exaggeration in describing a precious thing is always justified. Then what if it is the most precious and dearest of all to us? The Messenger of Allah is dear to us as known in our religion. We do not believe anything created would ever be even close to him. He is dearer to us than our spouses, and dearer to us than our sons, dearer to us than all the universe with all of its ornaments and jewelry. Loving the Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a true religion, deen. Deen is something that you embrace. So also love for Allah is our deen. Love for the Messenger of Allah is our deen. Obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our deen. Obedience to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is our deen. Doing good to people, ihsan, is our deen. Loving the Mustafa is a true religion with which I will meet Allah al-Muhaymin subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it brings me closer to his pleasure. Being in love with him is the most pleasing state. Every other work or state I have does not resemble it. The best thing I present in front of me is the love I have for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Dig deep, brothers and sisters, dig deep in your heart. And you will find that many of the acts of worship you do sometimes for other than the sake of Allah. Or you're not sincere in doing them. You're not sure, the least to say. But I'm sure that every one of you, looking deep in your heart, you know truly and sincerely that you love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam without any slight of doubt. And not for the sake of anything else except for the sake of him, that he is the beloved of Allah. He is the Messenger of Allah. He is the one who is going to intercede for us on the Day of Judgment. Every one of you loves him deep in the heart. Present that love. Dig it out. Present it before you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because this is probably the sincerest action we have, action of the heart. Actions are not only things we do when we move our hands or our heads or bow or prostrate or walk or speak. Actions of the heart, patience, thankfulness, tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reliance, and mahabba is the closest way to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best mahabba is mahabba of the love for his beloved. O Master of all messengers, I am passionately in love with you. I have come to your door with a sick and weeping heart. I am stuck for nothing. Help! I'm stuck for nothing. Help me! I'm stuck for nothing. Help me in my difficult dilemma. As my heart has persisted for long in its way of heedlessness. This is describing my state coming to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Save me with a gentle breath from your pure fragrant saliva on my heart to heat it and cure it forever. Cure forever its illness, O Messenger of Allah. The saliva of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so sweet. Save me and take my hand, O my dear master, as I am a casualty of love, a casualty of love that was shot at by none other than you. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is just looked at us and we fell in love with him and we are casualty of this love. What a beautiful way to be even a shaheed for that love. Even you can be alive and be still be the shaheed, the martyr of this love, even walking on the earth when you have died to him, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, when you have died to everything other than him, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, then he'll take you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Till now, I have not realized that love would take me from my free will and throw me to the winds like feathers. True lovers do not have control over their love, because love is not something that is optional. When it reaches its top level and strongest moments, love is uncontrollable. Love, as the Shaykh al-Akbar Muhyiddin ibn Arabi says, وَلَا خَيْرَ فِي حُبٍّ يُدَبَّرُ بِالْعَقْلِ. There's no good in any such love that is managed by reason. Love cannot be reasoned. Love cannot be explained or justified. Nor did I expect to go through more than what the Majnoon, who fell in love with Layla and wandered in the desert looking for her. Your love has melted my heart, and your being away has melted my liver. So I am wondering now, what the rest of my body then? Will the rest of my body then be saved? Look at this image here, which I'm saying I have put here together. Your love has melted my heart. The love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam dwells in the heart and it is burning to the point that the heart is melted. There's no harshness in the heart. This is what we mean. There's no harshness in the heart. It's all inhabited by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And your being away has melted my liver. This is what we call jawa, which affects the liver. Lovers usually get their livers burning because of the remoteness of their beloved ones. So I am wondering now, will the rest of my body then be saved? O Messenger of Allah, I accept you to issue the final judgment to settle the case of this lover who considers you his best judge. I'm submitting my case now in love to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's a conversation between me and him, and I'm telling him my state. I'm presenting to him my state and what's happening to me in the course of his love. I place all my hopes in you that you do not charge your lover for being irresponsibly relaxed in his immature behavior. In that way, I'm trying to seek the forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you would overlook. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would overlook my state and my lack of good actions compared to the level of love I have for him. Part 9, seeking the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I am fully bankrupt, of all my precious good works, except this praise which I present now to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To mention the Messenger of Allah when I am lonely is my pleasure, is the pleasure of my heart, and to praise him is my solace for what I suffer. By the bounty of Allah, I do not suffer from any illness. It is merely my heedlessness which made me wander in the wilderness of the deserts. So the real ailments, the real suffering is not suffering from ailments and pain and diseases and in your body. Rather, it is remoteness from the beloved. It is the impact of sins. It is heedlessness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is lack of good actions. I hope that my poetry in his praise helps me in receiving his intercession. On the day of reckoning, may Allah grant us all the intercession shafa'a of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Shafa'a al-khasa, the specific shafa'a to enter al-jannah inshaAllah, under his banner. So that I survive from its calamities. Would my eye, before I die, have the honor of seeing him, so that I receive from him the glad tidings of salvation? Would he kindly intercede for me on the day of reckoning, when sins enchain sinners round their necks? Would his troubled lover attain his august company in the immortal garden, when sins would have already worn him out? I'm just wondering, just looking at my state and looking at my ambitions, I have these questions. How far I am from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But I wish, I have the wish, that with my love for him, with my praise of him, inshallah, that I will get there. Would someone as sinful as me win his honor of closeness to him, so that I become his companion when my heart is full of sin? I have gone far in the way of misguidance, and I'm short of good works. Relying on Allah, who does not turn away those who seek his forgiveness and have hopes in him. My good opinion of my Lord, in reality, knows no boundaries. He will not turn away a servant who has put all hopes in him, in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, the most generous, gives to every person out of his bounty and magnanimity according to their opinion of him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ana inda dhanni abdi bi. I am the best opinion my servants has of me. You think he's going to forgive you? Repent to him, seek his forgiveness, and trust him, and trust his forgiveness, and rely on him, and you will be forgiven. Don't be in a state of despair, thinking that you will not be forgiven, so that you would not be, because of your bad opinion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the most generous. I'm traveling to the Lord of mankind, seeking his forgiveness, relying on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, calling upon him during my journey. I entered from the best door, the door of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the door of the best of mankind, hiding behind my poetry, trying to gain his pleasure, hiding behind your love, hiding behind some good things you have done between you and Allah, no one knows of them. Anyone who comes to Allah through the door of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will have brought with him the best intercessor who will save him. Come to Allah through the door of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyone who asks Allah by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will not be turned away. The great mercy of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will always envelop him. O Allah, our Lord, we beseech you by the elect from the tribe of Mudar, Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and by the Quran which he recited, we beseech you by Az-Zahra, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the part of him, the pure part of him, peace be upon her, his pure, honorable daughter, the greatest of all women, despite those who deny her status. We beseech you by his relatives, Ahlul Bayt, by his righteous companions, and by those who came after him and carefully followed his way, and by every righteous servant, every God-fearing saint, who followed in the footsteps of the Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or was related to him, that, O Allah, we beseech you by all of these great people, that you remove worries and calamities from us all, from you, from us all, from Muslims. May Allah remove this pandemic. May Allah save us from it. There are amongst us people who are ill. May Allah grant them shifa. Amongst us people who are seeking jobs, may Allah make their life prosperous and grant them wealth. People who are studying, may Allah grant them openings and success in their studies. People who lost their relatives, may Allah have mercy upon them. People who have different needs, may Allah grant every one of us the needs, their needs according to his knowledge, according to his generosity, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you remove worries and calamities and grant us full victory, and that you relieve the hardships that we as a community are facing, that you, by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bring back to Muslims their glories, as the Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the source of the great glory of Islam. This is a very important point here. Honoring the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the main cause of our glory, our triumph, our victory, our might, our success in knowledge, in every aspect of civilization. We honor the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah will give us power. And that you renew for Islam its acclaimed lost glory, to bring about a renaissance that advances us in all fields. O my Lord, by the elect, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we ask you to grant speedy recovery to those among us who are ill, and that you heal their bodies and souls, and that you enfold and surround us with your subtle care and safety to protect us from all harm if it suddenly befalls or visit. We ask you, O Allah, by the elect, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, out of your matchless generosity, to forgive us our sins, the old and the new, the remote and the close, and that you keep us firm on our belief in you, on the day we journey from life to the next. O my Lord, seal our lives with the best seal, as our love for the best of mankind reach the level where nothing will make us lose it, inshallah. May Allah increase us in our love for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May our love tomorrow will be more than today, and after tomorrow will be more than tomorrow, inshallah. And so on, till the day we meet our Lord, that we meet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Part 10, praying upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Praying upon the best of mankind is the greatest honor Allah may grant only to whom he loves. He commands to pray upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The command to pray upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is part of the divine revelation in the Holy Quran, addressing all believers to repeatedly practice it. So pray upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Pray upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to have the pleasure of seeing him. Send him your prayers as gifts, to receive gifts from his hands in return. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards everything from the same type of actions. هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. The reward of ihsan is ihsan. So the reward of every act of worship you do is from the same category. You give money, Allah gives you back prosperity, increase your wealth. You give knowledge to people, Allah increases your knowledge. You help people, you get strength. etc. So you pray upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allah sends you blessings. Allah covers you with His mercy, because prayers here means blessing, means mercy, etc. Gift Him your prayers and salutations all the time. If you do not have money to gift for His sake, the prayers you send upon the Mukhtar sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are delivered to him, and it is you who at the end receives his most precious reply. Anyone who sends even one prayer to al-Mukhtar sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah promised to reward him with 10 prayers directly from him. Man salla alayya marratan sallallahu alayhi biha ashra. Akhraja al-Tirmidhi. Sound hadith. Man salla alayya marratan, who prays on me once, Allah blesses him 10 times, or sends him tenfold blessings. Praying upon the Mukhtar removes every worry and takes away all calamities one might encounter in this life. Praying upon the Mukhtar sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cures every disease and heals every illness one may be suffering from. Praying upon the elect sallallahu alayhi wa sallam opens every locked door you wish to enter. Praying upon the elect sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best means to attain every good you ever wished to have from him. Paradise is the reward of him who perfumes his mouth from the fragrance of this prayer during the days and nights. Paradise is the reward of him who repeats it throughout his life, so he has a sweet, peaceful life. May Allah pray upon the elect, as long as the soul of a true lover is captured by his love or is annihilated in him. May the Lord of the throne pray upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as long as hearts that wish to meet him beat with his love. May the Lord of the throne pray upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as long as our eyes shed tears in grief for him being far from us. May the prayer of Allah continuously be upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as long as convoys head towards his garden out of yearning for him. May the prayer of Allah be always upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Peace be upon him, as long as a pigeon, a dove, in a well-shaded garden sings its morning melodies for missing him. May the prayer of Allah be always upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as long as poets from all the world write poems in his praise. May the prayer of Allah and the best salutations be always upon his pure family and upon those of their progeny to whom they give birth until the end of time, and upon his companions who reach the highest level of uprightness, and the next generation who truly followed them, التابعون, and those who after them followed their guidance. And the thousand perfumed salam be always upon him, the Prophet, the Imam. The thousand perfumed salam be always upon him, the Prophet, the Imam, from the heart of every true lover of him who wishes to meet him and come to his courts. Alhamdulillah. 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 It's a great bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us this opportunity, brothers and sisters, to sit, although not in the same place, but for the same goal, and under the same umbrella, the umbrella of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the sakina. You know the hadith that no people that sit together for dhikr, but that mercy will cover them, and sakina will come down on them, and angels will come above them to shape them. So no matter how far we are from each other, we are in one gathering and in the same gathering. Allah bless you, brothers and sisters. And may Allah accept these good deeds from us as we have nothing good to present except through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through loving him, through encouraging others to love him, through adab in him, through teaching others how to have adab with him, through embracing his good character, through showing people his beauty, his description, his good character, and raising our children for the same, and teaching the community, and showing the world how much we love him through praising him with the best that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ever given us. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for following up on these sessions. And I hope we meet again, inshallah, for similar events in order to praise the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more and more. I have few works that are in the process of being printed, alhamdulillah, in praise of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And probably, inshallah, you will see some good works coming that will benefit the Muslim Ummah in Arabic and in English. So pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me good health and inshallah good power and openings to continue to do this. Barakallahu feekum. May Allah bless you all. Thank you. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala al-Nabi. Ya ayyuha al-lazina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin abdika wa rasulika al-Nabi al-Ummi. وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما بقدر عظمة ذاتك في كل وقت وحين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.